I want to take just two or three minutes and just talk about the lectureship, if we could. I don't know how you feel about it, but I believe it was the finest lectureship we've ever had. Now, I'm going to go back and check my Monday bulletins for the last 10 years because I think I say the same thing every year. And so if you read the bulletin this week and it sounds like I've heard that before, you may have just changed the year on it. But let me say something. One of our speakers said to me, he said, I've been in the church for so many years, and that service this morning was the most moving, the most worshipful service I have ever experienced in my life in all of the years I've ever been to worship. And I felt the same way. I thought Richard's comments at the table. You know, I didn't even notice he offered thanks for the cup and not for the bread. I didn't either. And I don't know that he did. I'd like to go back and hear the tape, you know. But I mean, I was just, you know, I heard an old brother years ago named Brother White. His brother actually was one of the early teachers out at Pepperdine. I'm talking about back when Pepperdine almost started. And I remember something he said. He said, Dan, there's sometimes in worship in which I just am transferred from being on this earth and I'm sitting right there at the throne of God. And I think this morning was one of those kinds of experiences for me. I'm not sure why, but I'm telling you that was wonderful. And the other thing about this lectureship is how powerful the simplicity of the gospel is. Dave Miller's lesson. Do you know how simple his outline was? All he did was just look at 42 Old Testament references. And he said, how else could it be other than the fact that there is a God and that God foretold all of this and that Jesus is the Son of God and He fulfilled it all? I mean, you stop, you sit down as a preacher and analyze that. There was nothing to that lesson except there was everything in that lesson. And when the Bible talks about us and us growing spiritually, blessed is the man that walks not the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the way of sinners, sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law does he meditate day and night. You need to just take that lesson, the principle of it, and meditate about that. I had never thought of the force of that one statement, and among the many great statements he made was that 700 years before Jesus lived, 1,000 years before Jesus lived, God said somebody's going to spit in His face. You understand how faith building that is? I mean, young people, think about that. And I know I'm anciently old and, you know, live with Noah in the ark and everything. But that's the principle right there. I mean, you imagine reading a book 700 years old that told something that was happening in America today. Down to the minute detail that somebody would spit in the face of somebody else. There is a God. And we've got, you know, we've got to learn that. And that's really what these Sunday night services are all about. And I hope we understand that we're here trying to play games and see who can give the answers first and everything. That's just a gimmick to encourage us to try to study and learn these things. I mean, you know how many days he was in the tomb, don't you? You know about that stone in front of it? Can you name those women that came to the tomb? You understand? I mean, can you tell me the details of his life? Can you tell me about him walking on the water? Can you tell me about that disciple that said, "Lord, is it you?" Can you tell me about the woman, in the Samaritan woman? Can you tell me about when Eric said this morning, he touched that leper? I've said that before, but for some reason it just hit in my head. You wouldn't touch a leper. Jesus could have contracted leprosy. You're a nurse. Somebody's got AIDS. Don't touch them. And when Jesus reached out that hand, he could have contracted leprosy. That's how much Jesus loves me. But see, it's that little detail that becomes a basis of a relationship. John, you led the prayer, right? John Holzer, just tonight when he talked about Jesus, our shepherds. God bless our elders, our shepherds. And in some way in that prayer, he talked about Jesus being the shepherd. And then you prayed for our deacons, and I thought about Jesus as a deacon and washing the disciples' feet. You see, it's Jesus picking up that towel and washing. Harrison, did you know Jesus washed somebody's feet one time? You'll learn that someday. He washed somebody's feet. And what a lesson. You should have seen this face. What a lesson that is about an attitude that a deacon has. And see, that's what this Sunday night is all about. It is trying to help us develop our faith in the Lord. All right, that's enough of that. Visitors, I think we don't have many visitors here, but we're simply trying to learn Bible, Old Testament stories and everything. And we have these cards, and no one has the king card tonight, right? You've got the prophet card, you've got the priest card. Does everybody have the priest card? Do we have enough priest cards, David, if anybody doesn't have? You got the prophet card. That's the one we usually try to emphasize. Tonight we're going to pass out the king card. And that's level number 3 on Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. And we want you to have the king card in your field manual. You know, the little notebook that you've got. And in addition to that, we have the reference card that has all of the what's found in every chapter to be found in the Bible. Casey, you want to get over and help David pass some of these out, if you would, and everything. And that I don't know if that's the best way to do it. But David, if you'll take one and let Casey have the other one. Chad's here also. And here's a "For visitors, please return." Okay, and that means. We're not inviting you to come back. We just want you to leave the card, okay? Don't want you to misunderstand that. But anybody, any other visitors need one? We have any other visitors that are here? Yes. David, give the Simpkins back there a whole set if you've got them. Okay. Let's talk about, yes. Two people that need visitor sets back here, David. Okay. Let's talk about it. We're not going to do Genesis and Exodus. You know what the word Genesis means, right? Beginning. And Exodus means? All right, Leviticus. We're doing Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. What's in the book of Leviticus? Why is it called Leviticus? What's It's about the Levites. And the Levites were the priests. And so in the book of Leviticus, we have the priestly duties, the laws for the priest and everything. How many major sacrifices are there in the book of Leviticus? Five. Does anybody know them? That's not on the prophet card. I think that's on the priest card. But can you name some of those sacrifices, the offerings that were made? Do you know the names of any of them? Okay, and see, that's a yes or no answer. And so if you said no, you'd made 100, all right? So let's see how many of them we can name. The what? The grain offering, is that what you're saying? That's not the one I start with. I'm sorry, okay. The grain offering, go ahead. Burnt offering? What? The meat offering, did you say meat? The old King James has the word meat in there. The sin offering, the trespass offering, and all of those sacrifices. Whereabouts in the book of Leviticus will I read about the Day of Atonement? What chapter in the book of Leviticus is the chapter that tells me about where all of the Day of Atonement is? Now that, what? Are you serious? That is wonderful. I'm glad somebody knows that Leviticus chapter 16 is the one that has. If I want to find out about the Day of Atonement, I don't necessarily need to know all the details about that. But first of all, I need to know it's in the book of Leviticus. If I'm looking for something in the Bible, I need at least to get, over to the book of Leviticus. And then if I can know, wait a minute, what chapter's in the Bible? Where would I read about the Ten Commandments? Where would I first read the Ten Commandments? What book? Exodus, what chapter? Chapter 20. What about the second time the Ten Commandments are given? Deuteronomy, all right. And what chapter? Deuteronomy chapter 5. What's the book of Numbers all about? Numbering the people. How many times were they numbered? All right, there's the first numbering and there is the second numbering. What's in between? 40 years. In which book in the Bible, and this is so hard, in which book in the Bible would I read about Numbers? Numbers. Got that, Harrison? Don't learn it. You haven't learned it yet. Can I try to teach it to you? In which book in the Bible, Harrison, would I read about Numbers?
Numbers.
All right. Now, if Harrison can learn that, we want everybody to learn that. All right. In which book in the Bible would I read about the numbering of the people? The book of Numbers. And there's 40 years in between. Let me ask you some of the things that are found in that 40 years. Can you tell me some of the things that happened during that 40 years? What? In the book of Numbers, what do I read about? What happens in that 40 years? There's no answer to the no. There are some wrong answers, but I'm not just looking for one answer. What do you read about? The talking donkey. All right, you remember who was riding the donkey? Balaam. You remember what language the donkey spoke? I'm glad you don't, because you know more than God knows, but you know more than God has revealed to us, all right? The talking donkey. What's else in the book of Numbers? What about Joshua and Caleb and the spying out of the land? That's in the book of Numbers. What about the man picking up sticks on the Sabbath day? Guess what book that's in? That's in the book of Numbers. Let me ask you this, and this is really going to be hard. What was the punishment for cursing your parents? Death. What was the punishment for adultery? Death. Homosexuality? Death. Witchcraft? Death. Blaspheming the Lord? Death. Murder? Death. Now you got all of that. Is that too hard to learn? Do you think you've got every bit of that? That's a part of the things that's found there in the book of Numbers. Now, let me just clarify a couple of things. Number one, some have thought, as you've gone to do the test and everything, gone on the internet and come to the church's site, or you've done the written tests that are available out there in the foyer, that you cannot go ahead. In other words, once I get the prophet card, I must get the priest card, and then I must get the king card before I can get to the next level. That's wrong. If you've got the prophet card on Genesis and Exodus, you can go do the prophet card on Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And so just understand that. Some thought, well, I'll never learn the king card on Genesis and Exodus. Well, that's by design. We didn't want to design this just for Harrison. We didn't want to design it just for those who need to learn the fundamental things. We designed it for them, but not just for them. And so we designed this on three different levels, so that if you get to that king's level, you are going to be amazed at what you know about it. I mean, you've got the prophet level that covers Exodus through Deuteronomy. You've got the priest level that covers Exodus through Deuteronomy. And tonight, you've got the king level. And that's the third level going through that. So please, please be aware of that you don't have to finish up Genesis and Exodus before you can go to Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And by the way, if you know, on that introductory, on these white cards, if you only got to the prophet level or the priest level, if you want to go back and learn the king level now, you can do that. It's just an ongoing kind of thing because we recognize that if we do this over a period of a couple of years, people will be moving in and we'll have new members and everything. So where are they going to start? Well, they can start wherever they are. And so it's not that you have to finish one level and get all the way to graduate school, to the king level before you can go up into the next grade. It's just all fundamental and come at it from that level. David, is there anything else we need to mention? We've got about another 2 weeks is all we're going to do this. Maybe just one more week. We're going to do our Sunday nights in this respect. And so we would encourage you to go ahead and start getting real serious about taking the test. Someday in the next, some Sunday morning, we've got to have another Medal of Honors days where we can just recognize our kids and their accomplishments and things of that nature. David, anything else we need to cover about this in an overview? I want us tonight to finish what we did last week and just pick up your Bible. And I don't want to spend time reviewing tonight. I want us to look at the Song of Moses. In which book in the Bible would I read the Song of Moses? Deuteronomy. It's not the Song of Moses is not found when they crossed over the Red Sea. I mean, that is a Song of Moses. But this is the Song of Moses that five times is called the Song of Moses. And I believe it's critically important for us to know this song. Now, here's the reason it's important. Those verses Dirk read to us about, they knew it, but it was not mixed with faith. Here is the song that God wanted every Jewish boy and girl to learn. And Harrison, if you'd been a little Jewish boy, instead of singing, I know you're shaking your head no, because you're not, but had you been a little Jewish boy, this is the song right here that you'd learn the words to. And you have to know the words of this song. But that's young people, it'd been the song your mamas and daddies would have sung to you. They didn't do it. David and I right now are writing the next level, the books of history. And they went into the promised land. And they were faithful to God. You know this from the book of Judges. How long were they faithful to God once they got into the promised land? Joshua's generation and all of those who were there contemporaneous with Joshua. By the way, Joshua is the oldest man. You know how many men there are in Joshua's generation? There's Joshua and Caleb. Everybody else is at least, 40 years younger than them. I believe that's the math. If they were 20, they'd be 60. Joshua was 80. At least 20 years younger. 20 years younger than Joshua and Caleb. And they got in the promised land. And they didn't teach this song to their children. I don't want to look back and look at all of it. But look in verse 5 of Deuteronomy chapter 32. Here's the song. Verse 1 says, Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teachings drop as rain. Verse 3, I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is our rock. See, that's what this lectureship's all about. Jesus is our rock. And then the statement, He's a God of truth, without injustice, righteous and upright is He. They have corrupted themselves. They are not His children because of their blemish, a perverse and a crooked generation. When I was your age, my grandfather said to me, you young people have messed it all up. If you could just remember the good old days. I can remember, my granddad would say, I can remember when I was a boy, how wonderful everything is. And you young people have just messed it all up. And so now I'm a grandfather. And I'm saying exactly the same thing my grandfather said to me. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that true? Didn't your grandfather tell you that? And don't you feel that about this generation? See, it's easy for us to become a perverted generation. And I'm sure my grandfather looked at me when I was a teenager and said, you guys, you've messed it all up. You're a crooked and a perverse generation. And he was wrong and I'm right when he says it. You see, that's the difference right there. But that happens. But this expression, a crooked and a perverse generation, has a New Testament ring to it. They went into the promised land. And Peter, on the day of Pentecost, said, save yourself from this perverted generation. If they had been singing the song of Moses, this is what they would know. That God is the rock and you have perverted what God said. He said, I put you in this land. Where's those verses? Verse 14, you ate the curds from the cattle, milk from the flock, the fat of lambs and the rams of the breed of Bashan and goats, the choicest wheat, you drank wine, the blood of the grapes. But Jeshurun, another word for Jerusalem, grew fat. You grew fat. You grew thick. You are obese. And that's exactly where America is right now. Do you know why God blessed America? Do you know why we've been the greatest nation, I guess, in the history of mankind, at least since the greatest nation for many generations? Because He blessed us. And what's happened? We have become a perverted generation. The richest nation on earth has forgotten God. But forget about the nation. Think about your home. Do you know how much God has blessed you? Now think spiritually. Let me say it again. Think spiritually. Do you know how much God has blessed us spiritually? I mean, look around this room. You know the best people on earth. Think about this lectureship. When Judy and I came back after you know, 7 consecutive years almost in New Zealand. And we went to the Fried Hartman lectures. I was an empty bucket and did not know it. I had given and given and given of myself, helping other people and trying to change their lives. And my bucket was empty. And to go to a lectureship would fill up my bucket. You know what I'm talking about. It's just happened. Your bucket right now is full. And think of how much greater your faith is right now. But once you think that you're worthy of receiving these blessings, you've missed it. And so we become like them. Look in verse 20. I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be. For they are a perverse generation, children in whom is no faith. Is there knowledge? Most of the time, absolutely. Did the Jews in Jesus' day know about every sacrifice? Did they know the laws of the Sabbath? Did they know the laws about plucking grain on the Sabbath day? Did they understand about how holy the Sabbath was? Did they understand how sacred the temple was, or at least the gold in the temple? Did they understand? Did they have a knowledge? Absolutely. What did they not have? And that is faith. Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? As a result of the last 3 days, I don't know that I've ever believed it anymore. I mean, the power of those lessons. I don't know that my faith that Jesus is the Son of God has ever been any stronger than it is right now. And there's a difference in knowledge and faith. But you'll make choices this week. It's what John was talking about before we prayed. We walk out of this building, and there are all kind of choices we're going to have to make. And there's faith. Think about Jim, about dealing with sickness. Think about dealing with the death of your wife. And all you got is faith. But see, that's what this Sunday night study is all about. How many years were they in the wilderness? 40. Why 40? Well, because the spies. How long were the spies there in spying out the land? 40 days. 40 days, 40 years. How many days travel is it from Mount Sinai up to the Promised Land? You know the answer to that? 11. You know? How long does it take you to go 11 days? 40 years. See, that's just facts. But it's taking those facts and making them live. How many days' journey is it from where you are to heaven? That's it. One heartbeat. How long is it going to take you to go? However long it takes you to go, you've got to be Joshua and Caleb in spite of everybody else. And that's really what this Sunday night Bible study is all about. And I hope you understand what we're trying to do It's because, you see, it's in passages like this that we learn about God. Look back in verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your fathers and he will show you. Your elders and they will tell you. When the Most High divided the inheritance among the nation, when he separated the sons of Adam, set the boundaries of his people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the place of his inheritance. God found Jacob, found the Jews in a desert land, in a wilderness, a howling wilderness. He encircled him. He instructed him. He kept Israel as the apple of his eyes, as an eagle stirs up the nest, hovers over its young, spreading the wings, taking them out, carrying them on its wings. So the Lord alone led us, and there was no foreign God with him. He made him ride on the heights of the earth. He made him eat the produce of the field and draw honey from the rocks and the curds from the cattle and the fat lambs and all the rest. God has encircled you with his arms. How many years, Kip? Clean us over. 10 years. And that's not to brag on him. Kip, you don't know how thankful I am. I guess I've known you 25 years. Maybe more than that. And he took you and lifted you up and carried you on eagle's wings. And I can say the same thing about other folks in this audience tonight. That's what he's done. I just can't afford to get fat. To think that I'm really good because what God's done. Is Palm Beach Lakes a great congregation? Well, yes. I don't lie about it. Why? It's not because of us. Have we had an impact on people all over South Florida? Absolutely. Well, aren't we great? No. No. It's because he's wrapped his arms around our homes and around our children and around our hearts. And around this church. And if we get fat and think, well, we're really something wonderful and good, we don't have a clue. I thank God every day of my life for the honor of preaching at Palm Beach Lakes. I mean that. But we can't get fat. We can't get puffed up and think that the goodness and the things that are happening to us is because of us and our goodness. And so instead of honoring God, they made God angry. And the last part of this song of Moses describes the Jews. Verse 21. They have provoked me to jealousy by that which is not God. I don't know if you've got cross references in your Bible, but these phrases here are quoted again and again throughout the writings of Paul. I will provoke them to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move them to anger by a foolish nation. Paul quotes that in Romans. The fire is kindled in my anger and shall burn to the lowest hell. It shall consume the earth. 23, I will heap disasters on them. I will spread my arrows on them. They shall be waste with hunger. I will send against them the teeth of the beast, the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword shall destroy outside, there'll be terror within for the young man, the virgin, the nursing child, the man of many gray hairs. I would have said, I will dash them in pieces. I will make the memory of them to cease from among men. Had I not feared the wrath of the enemies, lest their adversaries should misunderstand, lest they should say, our hand is high, and it's not the Lord that's done this. God said, I would have wiped them out. This is how angry I got at them. I would have wiped them out, and the only reason I didn't was the enemies would say, we're greater than the enemies, greater than God. And that's God and us. The lukewarm, you're neither hot nor cold, you're lukewarm, I'll do what? Spew you out. I will spew you out of my mouth. And so God takes, He takes us with all of our warts and all of the things that we're not and uses us. I just looked at my watch. I can't believe. I don't know where the time went. Can I show one other thing? Is, verse 34, is this not laid up in store with me, sealed up among my treasures? I've circled the word sealed up and written beside there the mystery of God. When you come to the New Testament, and you read about the mystery of God, it's right here. Jews are my chosen people. I'm going to reject them. But I've got that sealed up because verse 43, O Gentiles, rejoice, for I will avenge the blood of His servants and render vengeance on His adversaries. He will provide atonement for the land of His people. I'm going to remove the Jews from being my chosen people and bring the Gentiles in. That's the mystery of God. And that's what the New Testament is all about. And folks, that's what we're all about. Before the world began, listen, God knew that there'd be a generation in the year 2040. Thirty years from now. We won't be here. You're right. You will. Part of the mystery of God is that He wants some people on this earth who are there to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I'm telling you, young man, something. The greatest thing you can ever do, preach the gospel. I'll tell you, young lady, something. The greatest thing you can do is to be a preacher's wife, an elder's wife, a deacon's wife, Sunday school teacher, and let God use you. 2040, I'll be dead. Long time before then. If not some of you guys stepping up to the plate, the mystery of God vanishes off this earth. And there were folks back at West Huntsville in Alabama. My grandpa. And he handed me a torch, figuratively. I said, there's the torch. And coming out of that little congregation of less than 200 members, in my generation, were 22 preachers out of that one congregation. Here it is, guys. Here's the torch. And you don't have to preach. But you gotta be a faithful Christian. Or it's over. And all of the things that lifted our souls toward heaven this weekend, this church will not exist. And he won't be being lifted up. Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you feel that when Kyle this morning put the gun to his own head? How much do you believe it? And that's for every one of us. Let's take what we've learned and mix it with faith and go to heaven. That's not what I intended for us to do in this class tonight. I was going down a different road. But it just seemed like what ought to be said.